So good to be in the presence of the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. You're always faithful. When we reach out unto you, you're never very far from any one of us. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Have some elders, if you'd come and gather around Brother Kellum. He took a fall at work. He's in pain and he needs the Lord to heal him. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe that this is scriptural, biblical. We're going to anoint and pray for him right now in the name of Jesus. God, we come before you right now. In your name that is above every name, that by your stripes we are healed. God, we stand in faith, God, receiving of you, God, your power, God, through your precious name, God, all power and authority is in you, God. And in your name we cry out unto you, God, in faith believing we receive, God. We ask in faith knowing, God, that you meet and supply our need, God. We worship you, God. We praise you, God, in the reality, God, of receiving your power, your strength. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your healing touch, God. Thank you for your power working in my life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we worship you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. How wonderful are your ways, Lord. Hallelujah. We exalt you, Savior. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All power in heaven and earth is in that name. Ah, hallelujah. Oh, it just feels so good. I know I've said it, but it just feels so good to be in the presence of the Lord, to feel His power, to feel His Spirit moving. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, why don't you lift your hands and lift your voice for a few moments? Why don't you just let the Lord have His way in this place tonight, Jesus? We're here to worship you, Jesus. We're here to praise your precious name, to give you glory and honor that you are so due and so worthy of. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Before you're seated, why don't you turn to a few folks, greet them, give them a big smile, tell them you're happy to see them here in the house of the Lord. Young people are going to make their way upstairs to youth class. As you're returning to your seats, I do want to say a big thank you to any and all that were involved in the chili cook-off Sunday night for our Faith and Family Night. Congratulations to Brother Gary Piles for winning the chili cook-off. Just had a great time of fellowship and fun together with you all, and so I love those times where we can get together and have fellowship like that and just, as they say, kind of let our hair down and just have a good time in fellowship, and we played some board games and just had a good time together, and so we thank you for making the effort to be there, be a part of our Faith and Family Night. I do want to remind you this coming Sunday, After service, there will be a potato luncheon. This is a youth fundraiser. They are starting to raise money in order to go to Illinois Youth Convention happening in March. And so it's by donation only. So whatever you feel to give by donation, you're welcome to go down and partake of the luncheon. Sister Grimm, do you have all the desserts you need, or do you need more people to bring desserts? Okay. Okay, I know my wife, if you would be so kind as to help us and provide a dessert that could be served, if you could please see Sister Grimm and let her know that and what you will be bringing. That's this coming Sunday, right after Sunday morning service. Then there are other things. We'll let you know the February calendars are available, or they're at the back on the table, so you can know what's happening this month. A lot going on this month, a lot of different things happening, so I encourage you to get one of those. We will send those out via email, as we did the newsletters, and that way you can have it in on your phone or in your email or things of that nature. Sister Grimm? Yes. If you'd like to be involved in the small group, please have those forms filled out and turned in. What small groups is basically we do a rotation and go to different homes, people in the church, where we get together in small groups and have a time of fellowship together. And so that is coming up, and I think our first one is in the month of March. And so that's on the calendar, and we're going to do that. So we need you to let us know that you want to be involved, and whether you want to host or whether you just want to go and be a part of that in another setting. And so if you have any questions about that, you can see Sister Grimm, and she can give you the form that you can fill out and let us know just how much you want to be involved in that. Other things I would say this, my wife and I are going to have opportunity to be at a meeting this weekend, Friday and Saturday. It's a meeting for Chicago area pastors that we are going to go and be involved in Friday night into Saturday. And so we cherish the time we get to spend together with people of like precious faith, especially pastors. So it's such a good time we go and able to fellowship with them. So we covet your prayers concerning that. Other things there on the calendar let you know what is happening and what's going on for the month of February. A week from this Sunday, which is February the 14th, which is Valentine's Day, men, make sure you put that on your calendar, and women too, you know, it's not just the men's job, you know, but on that day, there will be a bake sale. The Children's Ministry Department wants to raise some funds, and so they're going to have a bake sale, and what an appropriate weekend to have a bake sale, Valentine's Day weekend. So come and plan to partake of all the goodies, and if you have been a part of our bake sales in the past, you know that we have some tremendous bakers here in the church, and though it may lighten your pocketbook in being able to buy the goodies, it may not lighten the, never mind. But that is coming a week from this coming Sunday on the 14th. We're going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I'll start on my right if you have a prayer request you'd like to bring to the church. Sister Kellum. All right. Sister D. Yes, certainly. Anybody else? Sister Sue Ann. Remember little Taylor, certainly. Sister Christian, I believe I saw your hand. All right. Sister Michelle and then Brother Alex, I'll get to you. Go ahead. No, it's certainly. Well, we'd love to pray with you concerning that. Yes, certainly. So, Brother Alex. Certainly. Yes. Why don't we stand? Sister Darlene. All right. In Jesus' name. Can we go to him right now? Oh, Jesus. You're so good, God. We love you, God. Your patience, your mercy, your kindness towards us, God. We thank you, Lord. With a sincere heart, we come before you, God, asking you to work and to move. We thank you, God, Lord, that you're faithful to us, God. You never leave nor forsake us, Lord. We know that you're there, God, to watch over us, to help us and to lead us, God, for these prayer requests that have come forth tonight, Lord, whether it be a healing in the body, God, whether it be a decision, God, do your will, God, and go forward, Lord. I pray, God, Lord, that you would answer, Lord, that you would speak to the heart and the life and the way that you do, God. A still small voice, God, of assurance, God, to go forward in you. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We thank you, God. We honor you, Jesus. Let our lifestyle, God, sing your praise, God. Let what we do and how we live, God, show the goodness, God, that you have given unto us. Lord, we love you, Jesus. You are so wonderful, God. You are so good. We magnify you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. We praise your precious name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, mighty God. How wonderful you are, Jesus. How wonderful you are, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It's almost hard not to preach in this kind of atmosphere. I think maybe preaching and teaching should have been this week instead of last week, but we are continuing in our study of church growth, growing a church. Last week we talked about preaching and teaching, how essential preaching and teaching is to growing a church, how sound doctrine, understanding and knowing what the Word of God says, and being inspired to continue and to persist, or to stay in the fight, if you will, to continue in diligent effort and patience and all those things that we've kind of talked about and addressed through the course of this study. But as we are going forward and we're talking about these different principles of apostolic church growth, it's kind of amazing to me how that they not only intertwine, of course, but how they build on one another, and how they really do show the foundation, if you will, of what it takes to build a church. And not just any church, an apostolic church, a church that teaches and preaches truth, not just a social gathering, but a place where the power and presence of God can be felt. The last thing I want is for me to ever ascribe or say that this is a church of God without God being in our midst. And if there is no evidence, if there is no power, if there is no demonstration, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, if people are not being healed and delivered and set free, and relationships are not being restored and things are not happening, then quite frankly, I have no desire to be a part of it. Because I want to be a part. I believe with all my heart that what this is, and what I mean by this is the Church of the Living God, it is a spiritual entity. It is not something that we just ascribe to or put a name on the billboard outside. This is the Church of the Living God. And I believe that in order for us to be a part of the Church of the Living God, well, then there's certain things we must do, and there's certain principles we must follow in order to build the Church of the Living God. Amen? And so in talking about this and going through this and us discussing our desire, our want to see the church grow, not just in number and quantity,
but in quality. We want to grow personally in our relationship with God, hopefully. If I'm not coming to church to grow in my relationship with God, then what's my purpose? If I'm just coming because it's a fire escape from hell, or quite frankly, I don't think I'm going to make it if that's all my intent is. If I'm not intending to grow and mature in my walk in relationship with God, if I'm not intending to press toward the mark and move from here to there in progression of following after Jesus Christ, well then, I don't know that I'm in it for the right reasons. Amen? And so as we're talking about growing a church and building a church, tonight we're going to talk about power and demonstration of spirit. Now, remember when we first launched out into this study, I told you there are some areas, there are some of these principles that I feel we have a decent grasp of, if you will, and then there are other areas that I feel that sometimes we struggle. And it's not that I look at power and demonstration of the Spirit and say there's no power and demonstration of the Spirit. I know that is not true. I know we have power and demonstration of Spirit in our midst. I know that. But I want more. I'm not content with the level of demonstration. I am not content with the level of the power and presence of God that we have in our. I want that to grow. I want there to be growth in demonstration. I want there to be growth in power. Amen? I want when people walk into this place and the praise and worship is going on and people are worshiping and the preaching comes on, I want people to know there's power in that place. There's something different going on there. I say it all the time, we serve a living God. We should never have dead church. There should be power and demonstration in our midst. And so we talked last week about preaching and teaching and how that preaching and teaching should facilitate faith. Hearing cometh by the word of God. Well, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so when we preach and when we teach and when we worship and when we praise, all that should be to facilitate faith. Faith that when someone comes in here and they realize, whether it's through the preaching or through the convicting power of the Holy Ghost, they realize things have got to change in my life. I've got to be different. I've got to do things different. I've got to get beyond these addictions. I've got to be delivered from my own mess that I've made. When they come in with that type of mentality and understanding and they start feeling the power and presence of God, I want faith to begin to build that they can leave here changed. That they can leave here with a different outlook and a different mentality and a different understanding. And that, my friend, is how we grow a church. We get people to understand that here is where it happens. And please understand, I know we should all have our own personal walk and relationship with Christ. We should all have devotion. We should all have prayer time. We should all have the time where we get in the Word of God and we pray. But there is something special about gathering together, assembling ourselves together in the house of the Lord where more faith is. And we facilitate the power and demonstration of the Spirit. So tonight we're talking about, last week let's review the seven apostolic principles of growth. Number one, prayer. Number two, planning. Number three, persistence. Number four, preaching and teaching. And tonight, number five, power and demonstration of the Spirit. Next week, Lord willing, personal care. And then finally, we'll end up with personal involvement. Look at this focus verse. We touched on it as we were concluding last week, and I want to kind of where we left off, so I'm going to pick up kind of where we left off. It was found in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 4 and 5. Paul writing the church at Corinth, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here's, and this is just my opinion. Here's where I believe Christendom as a whole is failing people. Now, please understand I'm using that term very liberally. Because there are people all over the world who will attend services on a given day and they will hear words of man's wisdom. Some of that helps. Some of that encourages. Some of that strengthens. But unfortunately, often there is no demonstration. Often there is no power in the sense of manifested power and presence of God changing, resurrecting, helping, delivering. And I'm not saying that good doesn't happen in those places. Please understand me. But if we rely upon man's wisdom, or we rely upon processes and different things, and the power of the Holy Ghost is not in our midst, we are not doing what God has called us to do. Here's the focus thought. Growing a church is spiritual work. Spiritual work. Therefore, the most important ingredient is not leadership principles, it's not management techniques or specialized methods, but rather it is the work of the Holy Ghost. There is one thing. If we are going to build an apostolic church, there is no more main ingredient in what we do than the power and presence of Almighty God. And that is evident in demonstration. That is evident when things happen and things change. That's evident. That power, that demonstration of spirit is evident when someone walks in. You see, let me just say it this way. I can remember back in the day. I can remember times. Maybe you can too. When people would come into church, and by the end of church, things were left on the altar. I can remember when people who I knew to be hard individuals, that weren't emotional at all, ended up in the altar, crying and weeping and snotting and everything. Why? Because there was demonstration. Something was happening. There was power that was changing them. And you see, there's a part of me that says if there's something that we need in this society, if you will, and more specifically in the church of the living God, we need more power and demonstration. And so that's why it's something I'm teaching on. That's why it's something we're talking about. And it's not about leadership principles. There's a lot of leadership, and I'm not against those things. I'm not against management techniques. I'm not against specialized methods. But I have to be, for more than all that, I got to be for the power of the Holy Ghost. Because the power of the Holy Ghost can do in a matter of moments what I could not do in a lifetime. The power of the Spirit can change someone. I know there's different processes and there's different techniques and there's different methods and there's different steps and courses that people can go through. But I know a God who can completely deliver someone from an addiction, and it doesn't take a 12-week course. It can happen in a moment. I serve a God who doesn't have to go through the process of modern science and medical knowledge. I serve a God that where someone may have to go through periods of treatment for a while before. I serve a God who can, in a matter of moments, completely heal someone. And we need to get back to believing that type of atmosphere is in our midst. That where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And we need power in demonstration. And my fear is that we rely, and I say we, I include myself in it, we rely too much on our head. And how we think and our processes. And so many times that gets in the way of our heart. And if we get back to heartfelt praise and worship and heartfelt response to the ministry of the word and heartfelt and sincere longing to see lives changed and people renewed in the spirit and people delivered. When we get back to that true desire in heart to see power and demonstration of the spirit. The Great Commission, Mark 16:15. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So that the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Kind of sounds like last week. Preaching. They preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. There were signs. There were signs that Mark wrote about. Jesus said, these signs shall follow them that believe. There were signs. There was demonstration that though the man Christ Jesus had gone away. Catch this. He had ascended into heaven. He was resurrected from the dead, but he had ascended. Though the man in his physical form had ascended, that spirit, whoo, the same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, the same spirit that was going about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, that same spirit came back and was in the disciples and the apostles, and they preached Jesus everywhere. And there were signs, there was demonstration that followed the preaching. Acts 2 and 6, we know they spake with new tongues. Acts 3:11, recovering of the sick. It happened, there was demonstration. Peter and John on the way to the temple at the hour of prayer, and there sat the man at the gate, beautiful. We know, many of us know the story, what happened and what took place. Someone who had never walked, immediately, the Bible says, leaped up, began walking and leaping and praising God. They, there at Solomon's porch, when everybody was greatly wondering how this miracle took place, Peter stood up and began to preach unto them. And the Bible said many believed because there was demonstration. Because demonstration creates faith. And when there's faith, faith facilitates change. Faith facilitates the miraculous power of God to move and work. Acts 28. 3-6, take up serpents. Now, let me be clear. Don't worry. There's no boxes in the back. We find no biblical evidence to support the intentional taking up of serpents or intentional drinking of poison as a sign of one's faith. We do not find that in the Bible. We do find where the Apostle Paul, after they were shipwrecked, he's gathering wood for a fire and a poisonous viper bites him. Comes out and bites him. And it's there and it's on him, and the people surrounding him see him, and he shakes it off into the fire, the Bible says. And they expect that he, any moment, he's going to kill over. They expect that, because they obviously were aware enough of what viper had bit him, that they realized this man's a goner. And in their logic and in their mind, he was soon going to die. Matter of fact, they even thought, the Bible says, well, what great sin had this man committed that he was saved from the sea, and now he's bitten by this viper. He's going to die. But guess what? Didn't even get sick. Nothing hurt him. I don't believe the Bible's talking about us intentionally taking up serpents or intentionally drinking dead things as a proof of our faith. I remember years ago, minister, actually by the name of Bill Davis, but not the Bill Davis that you know, talked about how that he was talking with this man one time, and this man was talking about the miracles are dead and all these different things. And so the guy told him, he said, well, if you believe in the Bible says that if you drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm you. I tell you what, you drink some strychnine, and we'll see how great your faith is. Brother Davis was very quick-witted, and much like the Bill Davis that used to pastor here, but this Bill Davis was very quick-witted, and he looked back at him and said, but my Bible also says that if I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. I tell you what, you drink it and I'll pray for you. But the Bible gives us no biblical evidence that we should purposely and intentionally take up serpents. People call it snake handling. Or intentionally and purposefully drink deadly things as to prove our faith. Now, are there folks that do it? Yep. Don't believe me? You want some interesting reading on the subject? Check out a book called Salvation on Sand Mountain. It's back in 1990. It was up for Book of the Year. I don't know if you knew this or not. But a journalist found out about this trial that was happening where this pastor of a church, now this is way back in the sticks, pastor of the church was on trial for, they were a snake handling church, he was on trial for killing his wife with rattlesnakes. This journalist went and he sat through the trial and was mesmerized by this believing church. And this guy, I haven't read the whole book, I've only seen summary, but I had a very good friend who read the entire book, and it was like, wow, this is crazy stuff. But just in case you want to know, I have no desire, none whatsoever. And if I were in a church, and all of a sudden the boxes came out, and I heard the rattling, I would be like Jesus and walk through walls. But the Bible gives us no biblical evidence that we should intentionally put ourselves in harm's way. But it does tell us that if we find ourselves in harm's way, guess what? The sign that would follow them that believe. I've heard many stories, many circumstances. I heard one by the man who is our foreign missions or global missions director, Brother Howell and his wife, who are over in a foreign land, and they knew that it was a process over there. It was something that was done on a very continual basis, that bandits would put a roadblock in the middle of the road and force you to stop your vehicle, and then they would rob you at gunpoint and take everything that you had. And he and his wife are driving. They're back from a church service, and they round a corner, and sure enough, they see a barricade in front of them. And he said, I didn't know what to do. I just began to cry out unto Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I closed my eyes and just, I didn't break. I just kept going. And I just had to believe that God was. And he said, the next thing I know, I opened my eyes and I'm on the other side of the barricade and I'm going. Cast out devils. Acts 16 through 18. The story where the woman is, this damsel is following Paul around, and she's saying what seems to be right. Follow these men, for they show us the way of salvation. But the Bible says that it grieved the spirit of Paul. And he turned to the woman and told the devil to come out of her. And it departed, casting out devils. Now, here's another area, and here's another thing that and I'm not going to take too much time here, but the demonology or the study of demons and evil spirits. And here is, again, in my opinion, we have put a lot of things under the auspices of sickness or disease or mental illnesses or gender confusion. We put a lot of things under medical terms, scientific terms that are spiritual. Folks, when a 6-year-old boy wrestles with his sexuality, it is not a natural thing. I'm going to say it again. When a 6-year-old boy wrestles with whether he's a boy or a girl, it is not a natural thing. It is a spiritual thing. And what we need to understand, the Bible makes it very, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against power, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, and a lot of things that we term and give medical terms to, and we try to, now stay with me, it may get a little tighter, we try to medicate. We try to give help and counseling and psychiatric care for a lot of those things. If we really understood the base and the foundation of it, we'd understand it's spiritual. And there is demonstration of the power of God that can help someone and completely eliminate their dependence or their need for that drug or that substance that can. Power and demonstration of the Spirit. We and I know, I said, man, he's really getting out there in this kind of teaching. But do we understand if we really allowed the power and presence of God to move in our midst as he desires, it would absolutely rock our world. It would make such a difference. It would do so many miraculous things in our midst if we but had the faith to believe that God can. Power and demonstration following them that believe. That's what Jesus said. These signs shall follow them that believe. There's going to be power and demonstration that follows them that believe. And my fear is that many times we hurt our testimony because we're not really allowing God to demonstrate and manifest his power as he would like through us and in us. See, what we need is an atmosphere of faith. We need to believe. We need to believe that there's going to be power in demonstration of the Spirit of God. We need to believe that when we come together, there's going to be heartfelt and sincere worship and praise that's going to facilitate people believing. And that the miraculous is going to happen in our midst. See, it's all about expectancy. Catch this. And on the surface, this is because when I first thought about it, it didn't set so well with me. But then, as I often do, when you look to the Word of God, it confirms. It's all about expectancy. God does not respond merely to need. Catch this. He doesn't respond merely to need. The Bible says that there's a certain place, and I don't remember exactly where the place was, that he could do no great work there. Why? Because of their unbelief. There were needs there. Catch it. There were needs there. God does not respond merely to need. He responds to faith. God responds to believing. God responds. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Jesus said, Matthew 9:29, according to your faith be it unto you. According to your faith be it unto you. It's not about your need. And this references blind men. It's not about their need. They certainly had the need to be healed, but it wasn't. He didn't say, according to your need be it unto you. He said, according to your faith be it unto you. You have to believe. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It takes faith. You have to believe. It's not about the need. It's about the faith that he can supply the need. It's the expectancy that when I come to him with my need, he's going to supply the need. Whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive. You see, I can pray, but without faith, I'm really, as James said, I ask amiss. I've got to believe. I've got to believe that when I pray, that prayer is not just something I'm uttering out into oblivion. That when I pray, that the ear of Almighty God is attentive, that he is listening. I have got to believe. See, the church should cultivate an expectation of the miraculous. We should believe when we come together that something miraculous is going to happen. We should start believing with expectation that when we come to service, it's not just going to be singing 4 or 5 songs and hearing a good word and then going out to eat. We've got to believe. There's got to be faith. We've got from the depths of our heart, we need to understand this is eternity we're talking about. This is lives in the balance. These are souls that there's opportunity for God to make a difference and forever change and forever alter their destiny through His power and His help. So we have to believe there has to be that part of us that says, I want to see us grow in power and demonstration. I want to see more of the miraculous. I want to see and be a witness of God's wonder-working power. See, there are two essential principles in us creating, in us cultivating this atmosphere of praise. There's two things that have to be a part of what we do, and more importantly, in growing a church and having this church be a place where power and demonstration happens in our midst. There's things that are essential. Seek the Lord sincerely, diligently, and wholeheartedly. Here's the thing. I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I think we miss out on so much because so much of what we do is about the head, the thinking, instead of the heart and believing. You see, faith is an elusive butterfly that cannot be captured with the net of rational thought. Catch that. It has to come from the heart. You have to believe. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith comes from the heart. Faith comes from a sincerity that says, I don't know how, I can't explain it, but I know God can. God can. All things are possible with God. God can't. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, we can't really offer you any more treatment. I'm sorry to tell you, we really can't offer you any more answers to your situation. Well, you might not be able to, but God can. God can. I believe God can. And I'm going to seek the Lord sincerely, diligently, and wholeheartedly. Hebrews 11:6, I quoted earlier, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You know me, I'm a pretty candid guy. Sometimes we come to church, and what we seek is that moment when whoever's closing out the service says, you're dismissed. Now we laugh, but that's true. Sometimes we come to service and we're just seeking for that moment where we've checked the box, done our duty, fulfilled our obligation, made sure other people saw we were present and accounted for. And then we wonder why nothing happens. I know. I stopped preaching, started meddling. But if we're sincere, and there's whole heart worship and desire to see the miraculous in our midst, why in the world would God withhold? If we truly seek after Him, the Bible says He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That's why it doesn't matter what their past is. It doesn't matter what they came from. It doesn't matter even if there's substances in their body when they walk in. If they come to God and sincerely and wholeheartedly seek after Him, guess what? He's there to reward. He's there to meet the need. And we need to start believing that that can happen at any moment and at any time. Someone can come in, and no matter what's going on in their life, no matter the baggage they bring in with them, no matter what kind of turmoil their life is in, God never looks at that individual and says, well, I can't help you out, and I can't fix your problem. God just simply says, seek me, and you'll find me. You'll understand I am the answer to your problem. If you'll diligently seek me, you'll find out I'm a rewarder of them that diligently seek me. Mark 12:29, and Jesus answered him, man asking, what is a great commandment? The first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. What would service be like if we just followed the first commandment? And we came into the house of God and set everything else aside, and with our whole heart, and with our whole soul, and with our whole mind, and with everything that was in us, we sought the Lord. Number two, worship him with free and heartfelt expression. John 4:24, now the Lord is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, here's the thing. Our spirit, the essence of who we are, it includes our emotions. It's talking about our whole being. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And if I'm holding back and I'm not involving all of myself in heartfelt free praise and worship, guess what's happening? I'm quenching the spirit. Man, I knew it was going to get quiet in here. If I am not with free and heartfelt expression worshiping God, if I am not with my being, my whole being, It's always amazed me. And please understand, I'm not being judgmental. I'm just by observation. There's majority of my ministry has been in areas where I am looking out over congregations. Whether I'm playing an instrument, whether I'm singing, whether I'm preaching. Majority of and please understand where I'm coming from, and understand my heart in this. It's always amazed me how that you can be in the same service, in the same atmosphere, and you can have one over here dancing and shouting and praising, and one over here crying and facing the carpet, and one over there just joy and expression, and they have all these different emotions being exhibited, and these people that are worshiping God with their being, and you know there's connection there. You just see it, and you understand they're connecting with God right now, and there's some, and in that same service, you see individuals I've always thought about how does that. The power and presence of God is in our midst, and God's doing miraculous thing. And maybe this individual over here is getting healed, and this individual over here is being delivered, and this relationship over here is being restored, and all these miraculous things are happening in the midst. And there's someone that's just sitting there. No emotion. No response. Nothing but, and it's like they're miles away. And maybe in their thoughts they are. And it's always amazed me how that even though, catch this, even though sometimes I've sit there and I've witnessed and I've watched that, but then all of a sudden that same individual that has sat there stoic and expressionless and unemotional, then all of a sudden something begins to change. And part of their being begins to respond to God. Maybe it's just a tapping of the foot. maybe it's just a calm and not all that exuberant, but maybe it's just a slight hand clap. But it seems like the more of their being that they start involving in what's happening, you ever notice that? And then all of a sudden, something begins to happen. I've seen them go from, as my dad would always say, like a bump on a pickle, to being in the altar and worshiping and praising God. But I've always thought to myself, how? How does someone come in the power and presence of God, and how do they remain motionless and emotionless and just go through the how does anybody become that hardened in their heart that the power and presence of God is in their midst? And it's just going through the usual motions. I'm coming to a close. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, one translation says, where the Lord is made Spirit, there, or where the Spirit is made Lord, there is liberty. See, the reality is many people, they come in contact with the power and presence of God, but they don't make Him Lord. And there's no freedom, and there's no liberty, because guess what's Lord in their life? Their pride. Guess what's Lord in their life? The way they want to do things. And until they make Him Lord, guess what? They're going to struggle. There's not going to be power and demonstration in their life. You can stand to your feet. We need to believe that nothing is impossible with God. That God can save to the uttermost, regardless of background, past life of sin, evil habits, addictions. God can save anybody. Anybody. We need to believe that God can heal all diseases. All diseases. Even when the doctors say there is no hope, God can still heal. We got to believe that. God can salvage and restore any relationship. Even when counselors say it's over, you might as well just get a divorce. God can reconcile and restore any relationship. Even when somebody's been abused mentally, physically, emotionally, God can still restore the relationship. He's able. Here's a final point. Here's what we'll go into next week. We all need to take personal care in facilitating demonstration of the Spirit. We all. I am just as important to it as you are, and you are just important to it as I am. And we all need personal care in the understanding that if together we get involved and together we have sincere, heartfelt worship and praise, together we can see in our midst more demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, how we need you. We need your power and presence demonstration in our midst. God, let us all take personal responsibility. God, let us all look at ourselves and say, Lord, help me to come into service with expectation in my heart. God, let me seek you, God, not just the end, not dismissal. But Lord, let me come with expectation in my heart. Let there be sincere praise and worship, God. Let me engage my whole being, every part of me, God, in worship and praise unto you. Lord, I worship you. I praise you. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace, your love, God. How wonderful you are, Jesus. How wonderful you are, Jesus. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.